And so this is the size of it. Then in chapter 43, we see more of the temple of this kingdom. Afterward, he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh toward the east. And behold, the glory of God of Israel came from the way of the east. And his voice was like the noise of many waters. And the earth sounded, and the earth shined with his glory. And this is the Shekinah glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the glory of God. And we read that his voice sounded like many waters. This represents the body that will come with him. This is him in his mystical body with him. Remember the 19th chapter of Revelation, before his wedding took place. After this, I heard a great voice of much people saying in heaven. Then again, they said, Hallelujah, for the smoke on down in verse 6. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thunder, and saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, give honor to him, for the marriage of the Ram is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And we notice here that the voice of many waters is not the bride. It is those that are in harmony, the church, his body, his mystical body. But here we see the sound of many waters talking about someone else, talking about the bride. Now, I believe with all my heart, though, the bride is here with this, because wherever he goes, she goes. When he enters into this temple, all the glory of God enters in with him. Now, we had the same thing with the tabernacle. When they dedicated the tabernacle, the glory of God came and came upon it. We read that the glory of God was in a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud. When Solomon dedicated the temple that he built, the Shekinah glory of God was so great that man couldn't minister there at all. And yet, this is only a kind of a picture of the glory of God that's going to be in this temple. It's going to be so magnificent, so filled with his glory, that I don't believe our finite minds will be able to grasp the glory. Remember, when God's glory came upon Solomon's temple, he had man to deal with. Here, he has men to deal with, but in a different realm altogether. He has men here that is yielded to him so great that his glory can shine to the utmost. And we can see that in our own lives, how great the glory of God can shine in a yielded vessel. And so how great this glory is. And notice in verse 3, and it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision that I saw when I came to destroy the city. This was at the beginning of his vision. He saw the glory of God. And the phrase here, he came to destroy the city, has to do with his prophecy. Because just as sure as Ezekiel prophesied that Jerusalem was going to be destroyed, it had to be destroyed. This was the word of God. And so this is the reference that he has thought of there. And the visions were like the visions that I saw by the river Kibar, and I fell on my face. Now you saw it there in a vision here. It's glorious. The glory of God. I have no way of describing the glory of God or telling you what the glory of God is like. And the glory of God came into the house by the way and the gate whose prospect is toward the east. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. The Holy Spirit, moving him out of his body, brought him into the inner court. That's the holy place. And the glory of God filled this whole temple. And I heard him speaking to me out of the house, and the man stood by me. This is the man that has been showing him, same as Christ. And he said to me, Son of man, the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I dwelt in the midst of the children of Israel forever, and my holy name shall be the house of Israel, not Independence, Missouri. I want us to notice that there's no way that these people in Independence can twist that scripture there and say that Christ is coming to Independence. Notice what it says. My throne and the place of the soles of my feet and where I dwell in the midst of the children of Israel, no more defiled, neither they nor their king by their whoredom or by the carcass of their kings in their high places. In their city, in their sittings of their threshold by my threshold, and their post by my post, and the wall between me and them, they have defiled my holy name by their abomination, and they have committed. Wherefore I have consumed them in my anger. Now let them put away their whoredom and the carcass of their kings far from me, and I will dwell in the midst of them forever. And now, son of man, show the house or the temple to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquity, and let them measure the pattern, and be able to see what God has done. Let them take notes if they want to, because God is going to do this. And if they be ashamed for all that they have done, show them the form of the house. Here we're talking about the temple. Show them the form of this and the fashion of it and the going out thereof. Now, I believe these are the things that God wanted them to see. Not necessarily the exact sizes and everything, but what he wanted them to see was the form, the fashion, the going out, and the coming in. And Christ is the going out and the coming in. He's the only way. And all the forms thereof, and all the ordinances thereof, and the forms thereof, and all the laws thereof, and write them in their sight, and make them keep the whole form thereof, and all the ordinances thereof to do them. Now I want us to see this, that this is what Ezekiel was to tell the children of Israel at that time. And they still couldn't do this, could they? They couldn't do these things. And the Lord wanted them to see that they couldn't do that. He says, this is the law of the house upon the top of the mountain. The whole limit thereof round about shall be most holy. Behold, it is the law of the house. And these are the measures of the altar after the cubit. The cubit is a cubit and a hand's breadth. Now we repeat this from chapter 40. Even the bottom shall be a cubit, and the breadth a cubit, and the border, the edge thereof round about, shall be a span, and this shall be thy place of the altar. Now notice the span in verse 13 is a little longer, about 9 inches, I believe it is. And so we have a cubit and a hand's breadth, which would be 4 inches longer. And the bottom shall be a cubit, and the width the cubit, and the border thereof, by the edge thereof, shall be round about, shall be a span. And this shall be the higher place of the altar. And the bottom round about, even unto the lower settle, shall be 2 cubits, or the lower edge of it shall be 2 cubits, and the breadth 1 cubit, and from the lesser settle shall be, even to the greater settle shall be 4 cubits, and the breadth 1 cubit. And the altar shall be 4 cubits, and the altar upward shall be 4 horns. Now this is real similar to the altar that we have in the before, and with the horns upon it, which represents the power of the sacrifice. And the altar shall be 12 cubits long and 12 broad, square in the 4 squares thereof. And the settle shall be 14 cubits long and 14 cubits